Hey, I'm so glad you're here this morning. My name is Steve Chapman. If you are new to the River, this is your first time. I'm the family pastor here at the River Community Church. Our lead pastor, Steve Tabu, who normally is out here, has taken several weeks with his family doing some vacation, doing some mission trip. I think he's actually preaching somewhere in Arkansas this morning, and some much deserved time away. He and his family, they pour in so much here, and so we're excited they get to be away. So I get to be with you for a couple of weeks. And we had this idea for a series called Fine Tuning. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room were watching television in the late 1970s? The late 1970s, you can remember watching television in the late 1970s, all right? That includes me. I just turned 48 yesterday, so I remember television in the 70s, and I remember specifically this television. This is probably, I think, like a 1977 9-inch Philco television. Philco was one of the industry leaders back in the day, and they produced, this is a nice little black and white television. And this thing sticking out is an antenna, by the way. And our desire had been to actually have an image on this screen. And so we invested some, I don't know if you can't see the back, but there is no like HDMI port. There's no coaxial port. There's just a couple of screws, two for UHF, two for VHF. Some of you, if you're like under 20, you're thinking, what are you talking about? This looks like something from NASA, which consequently, that was the design. This was called the Philco Space Age type. So I think it's so funny when you look back at the late 60s and 70s of what they thought like the future was going to look like, that it would be bubble and round. And yet, what does the TVs look like today? They're flat as a pancake. It's like, but this is what we thought in the future. Televisions will look like a bubble. And so that was the old Philco thing. And this actually works. But we wanted to put a picture on here just to kind of show some of you what a black and white television picture looks like. But so we invested some money because, again, there's no HDMI, there's no coax. So we invested some money. So what we technically had to do, we had to take a signal and convert it from HDMI to coaxial cable and then convert it to the little plugs on here. And by the time we got to there, there was nothing. I mean, there was no image. And so we did some research and found out that's all you get. I mean, by the time you convert it that much, there is nothing. So there's no image. So this is all we could do is just some, that's called, by the way, that's called snow. And there's a little, whoa, there's actually trying to get, there's a little bit of some of horizontal lines dancing there. But this was my TV, late 1970s, early 1980s. This was my television set. My grandfather was a TV repairman. And he would work on TVs in his shop, the old TVs. And so occasionally he would have some that got left or that he just used as loaners. And so occasionally he would give me one. He gave me this little Philco. This wasn't actually this one. I found this on eBay. But he gave me this little Philco. And so I had this in my room and to watch television on. Now, so it was interesting. Television, it was a different experience back then. Today, you just, these things on the wall, you just turn these guys on, hook your Roku or your cable into that thing and, you know, find the right channel, boom, and you got a crystal clear, ultra high definition 4K picture. There's nothing high definition about this puppy right here. There's some tubes and things that you wouldn't even believe in the back of that. So you would turn this thing on and then you had to get to the right channel. Well, there was, if you're looking for the remote control, there is not one. To turn the channel, this is what it looked like. This is going to be brand new for some of you. You did this. Can you hear that? I mean, I'm physically changing the channel. So you had to turn it to the channel. In my house, we had three channels. We didn't have cable. We had NBC, ABC, and CBS. And so those were your three choices. And you would find the channel. And then on the inside of the channel tuning knob, there was this little dial. Anybody know what that is? Fine tuning, thank you. That's the fine tuning knob. Because once you got to the channel, to the network channel, then it might look like this. And you're like, uh-oh, they forgot to broadcast today. No, you just have to fine tune because you're trying to get that image. So you had to fine tune. On the back of this thing, there's some other knobs called vertical hold and horizontal hold and contrast. And so it is a science experiment to watch television back then, to get it tuned in. Let me tell you something, guys, and some of you remember this. It could be, for those of us non-cable subscribers back in the day, it could be a very frustrating experience. You knew the show was there, right? You knew Fantasy Island. It was time, right? TV Guide told you it was time. It's Fantasy Island time. I know you watched it. It's on, you know? But you can't, it's just not coming in. You're like, I can't see this. And then it would start rolling, and you're like, oh, my goodness. It was an experience, and it could be extremely frustrating because you know what was you were wanting to see, but you were so distracted by the snow, the interference, whatever it may be. Some of you know that frustration. But I'm going to ask you a question. I believe that there are a lot of people, maybe it's our children, maybe it's our neighbors, our classmates, our coworkers, maybe people we go to church with. I think there are people today that feel that same kind of frustration when they look at our lives and they are looking at us because they know we're a Christian, they know that we go to church, we're religious, and they're looking for a better picture of what does it really look like? What's a Christian really look like? What does it look like to really follow Christ? And they're looking to you, to me, and they said, I want to see what that looks like. And yet there is so much interference, so much distractions in our life, whether it's through our sin, through our inconsistencies, through just the lack of fine-tuning of our lives, the lack of spiritual disciplines, lack of whatever, consistency, faithfulness, commitment, whatever. They look at us and they get frustrated because what they see is not a clear picture of Christianity. The inconsistencies. And it can be very frustrating. I get frustrated with myself. I look at myself sometimes at the end of the day. I lay down and I'm thinking, how was my life today? I know I'm a Christian. I know I love God. I know I have a relationship with Christ. And you know, I look back over my life some days and I'm like, oh, that is so frustrating. I want my children to see a crystal clear image of what it looks like to follow Christ, what it looks like to be in love with Jesus. And yet sometimes, if I'm honest, I look at what I live and I'm thinking, man, that was not a good picture. That was a distorted picture. And so what I'd like to do today and over the next couple of weeks is talk to us about how we can fine-tune our lives as followers of Christ so that others can look at us, so we can lay down at night and look back over our lives and not be frustrated because we are fine-tuning our life. We are fine-tuning the image of Jesus Christ in our lives so that when others see us, they are beginning to see a much more clear picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to take a couple of weeks and just talk to you about what that looks like and look at some scriptures. This morning, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. And if you want to turn to Colossians chapter 3, it's in the New Testament of your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, want to borrow one of ours, we put these hardback burgundy Bibles in the chairs. Feel free to grab one of those. I think it's page 988 in those Bibles. If you're using your smartphone, I'm going to be using the New Living Translation this morning, so you can pull that up on your Bible app if you'd like to. Or you can just sit there. We're going to put these scriptures on the screen as well. As we take a few minutes this morning and talk about fine-tuning our lives, here's my simple goal this morning. It's what I hope happens. I hope and pray that wherever you're at this morning, And you could be in this room this morning, and you could be anywhere on the spectrum. You could be over here, and you would say, I'm not a Christian. I'm not even sure I get this whole Jesus thing, Christian thing. I'm not a Christian. And you may be way over here. You say, I'm a Christian, man, and my walk with Jesus, I'm in a sweet spot right now. I mean, man, my quiet time, my time with the Lord, my prayer life, my Bible study, my faith, man, I'm just at a good spot. I've been walking with Jesus for several years, and I'm at a good spot. And most of us are somewhere in between there. My hope and prayer is that wherever you land on that spectrum this morning, that after our few moments together, that the Spirit of God is going to move on your heart and going to challenge and encourage you at the very least to take another step towards Christ. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, that man, God is going to so speak to your heart today that you're going to say, man, I want to know what that is. I want to know what that means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, wherever you may be on this spectrum, I pray that God speaks to your heart today that you say, you know what? I need some fine-tuning in my life. That he puts his finger on whatever the thing is in your life that's like, yeah, that's something that I've not really paid a lot of attention to. And that might be frustrating some people. When they look at me and they see that could probably be frustrating. That's not really a good picture of Christ's work in my life. So wherever you may be, I hope that you'll be challenged and encouraged to take at least another step in the direction towards walking with Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, thanks for this opportunity to share. And I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, open our eyes, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to be open and willing to do whatever you encourage us to do this morning. I pray that you would just speak through me in these next few moments, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So basically what I want to do is just kind of walk us through Colossians 3 and the first 11 verses this morning and make some little points, kind of play off this idea of televisions and fine-tuning our lives. First thing I want you to see is this. First step that some of us, and really most of us in this room this morning, need to make is we need to stop channel surfing. Okay? We need to stop channel surfing. How many of you are channel surfers in here? And you get the remote, and I mean, you may start out somewhere, but you need to check all 587 channels on satellite, right? Because they're just, you never know what's on the animal planet channel, right? Or they make cooking channel. It's like, hey, I've never seen anybody, scramble eggs. Let's watch this for a minute. I mean, you're just going to surf, and you're going to spend 20 minutes surfing, and then finally work your way back to the show you were watching, and it's almost over, right? And how many of you hate the channel surfers, right? Your job is to hide the remote. I don't know where it's at. I guess we're just going to watch this for 30 minutes, right? And that's a channel surfer's nightmare. It's like, come on, let's see. Now, I got to be honest, it's a whole lot. We really enabled you today because it's so much easier. I mean, with the remote, you don't even need the remote today, right? I mean, with Alexa and all that stuff, it's like, go to ESPN, and it's like, boom, it's there. It's the Jetsons. You remember that show? It's coming to life. It's happening. We knew it would. And but back in my day, it was a little bit harder to channel surf because you had to literally get up off the couch, out of the recliner, and walk over and let's find ABC. And it might have been like three spaces. That was channel surfing back in the day. What do you think? And then you had to do all the fine tuning. So it kind of discouraged it. But today we do a lot of channel surfing. So we need to stop channel surfing. And here's what I mean by that. When it comes to our lives and spiritually speaking, we need to recognize there's really only two channels that you're watching today. In my day, we had three. We had the networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. Really, in our lives, there's only one of two possible channels that you're going to tune into in this life. All right? One of them is the kingdom of heaven, that channel, and the other one is the kingdom of earth. There's only two channels you're going to tune into. Listen to what Paul says here, who wrote this book, Colossians. It's a letter to believers. And listen to what he says in chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. He says this. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. He's talking to Christians. He says, so since you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Realities is a key word there. It's letting us know that heaven is not some mystic thing. It's not some idea. It's not some, made up thing. It's real. It says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Though you don't see it, you're not physically there, as a believer, but it exists. He says, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. You want to know where Jesus is today? He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, of the creator of heaven and earth. He's seated there. He's alive and he's well in the kingdom of heaven today. He says, so set your sight, set your mind on that. Verse 2, he says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And when he says think about, he's referring there to let your mind, let your life, let the entirety of your being be preoccupied with, focused on, excited about, overwhelmed with the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Now you gotta be tuned in to an extent because you live here, but our focus is on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Why? Verse 3. He says, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. You died to this life. In other words, you turned the channel. You turned the channel from the kingdom of this earth being your home, being your existence, and you're now tuned into the kingdom of heaven. And your life is hidden, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. There's two channels. Kingdom of heaven, which is above, which is where God exists, where Jesus is. It is the kingdom of God. It is where God rules and reigns supreme. In the kingdom of heaven, everything is subjected to and in obedience to the will of God all the time. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And he said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth, as it is in heaven. He's telling us, pray for that. Pray that among my people, that they will live on earth as they live in heaven. And as they live in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, the will of God is done consistently. And he said, that's what we should pray for, that the kingdom of heaven would come and that the will of God would be done here as it is in heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, God is worshiped all the time. God is clearly seen as the leader and the king, and he is followed and obeyed completely. Not so on the other channel, the kingdom of earth. The kingdom of earth is described as a kingdom of darkness. If you look back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, it's the kingdom of earth, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's the kingdom of heaven. Remember, it says that's where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. So it calls the kingdom of earth the kingdom of darkness. It's called the kingdom of darkness because we have darkness. I mean, I don't need to explain that to you. You watch the news, you see things on social media. Lying, stealing, cheating, murdering, hatred, prejudice. I mean, whatever you want. I mean, any type of societal ill. It's here because this is the kingdom of darkness. And you know why it's here? Because a long, long time ago in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, because Adam and Eve chose to listen to the arch enemy of God, which was the Satan, and disobeyed God, the Bible says that sin entered the world. And it is a kingdom of darkness. And guess who rules and reigns in the kingdom of earth, in the kingdom of darkness? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Satan is the god of the kingdom of earth. He is the god of this world. He is leading the resistance to the will of God here on earth. He is leading the resistance. He is drawing men away. He has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. He is planting the seeds of discord. He is behind every illicit, sinful, wicked, dark act. This is his kingdom. It is the kingdom of darkness. He is described as a liar, as a murderer, as a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And his kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. And that's all we've got. It's the kingdom of the earth, the kingdom of heaven. And those are the two channels. And Paul is saying here in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, he's saying, listen, as a Christian, you need to make sure you are tuned to the kingdom of heaven. Set your mind on the realities of heaven. Turn that channel to the kingdom of heaven, and that's where you need to be focused. That's what you need to be preoccupied with. That's what you need to be concerned about. That's what you need to be paying attention to, the kingdom of heaven. And what is the will of God? What does God desire me to do while I'm still living on this kingdom of earth? One day I'll be fully in the kingdom of heaven at the end of this age. But for now, in my 70, 80, 50 years I have on this earth, I'm called to live and to dwell here, but my citizenship, my focus, my practice reflects that of my ultimate destination, my true home, which is the kingdom of heaven. You ever been into the home or hung out with some folks that are not from America? Maybe they migrated, they immigrated here from, let's say, India or Japan or Guatemala or Europe. And they moved here to the United States of America, and they're seeking to live here, and perhaps maybe they even applied for it, and they've got their citizenship here, and they have citizenship. But if you go into their home, oftentimes what you'll find is that they are seeking to preserve some of the heritage, some of the lifestyle, some of the culture of their home, because that's what they know, and it was precious to them. And we walk into that sometimes, and for dinner maybe, and it's like, this is like a foreign experience for me. And I love that, by the way, because I just think it's the coolest thing in the world. I mean, because I think sometimes we get this such a mindset that like everybody lives like we do, and they don't. And I love it. And so, but that's what it's like. That's the picture he's saying here. He's saying, listen, you need to be living like someone that didn't grow up here, and you, because you are part of the kingdom of heaven. And yes, you live here, and you move and breathe and do life and work and play and all that. But your life ought to have a distinctively different flavor that people look and say, well, why do you do like that? Why do you guys, where's the chairs around the table? Well, in our culture, we don't do. Well, that is so interesting. People ought to look at our lives and say, why do you guys do that? And why are you praying for your meals? Or why don't you guys do this? Or why aren't you about this? And it's an opportunity to say, well, because in my culture, which is the kingdom of heaven, as a follower of Christ, this is how we live. And there's a distinction. So Paul is saying, listen, stop channel surfing. Stop bouncing back and forth. But lock in on the channel of the kingdom of heaven. He said, set your mind there. That's where you need to live. When I was a kid, for me, Monday nights, in the fall, Monday nights, there was one channel and only one channel that mattered. And that was ABC, because that was the channel that aired Monday Night Football. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, I can still hear it. I was so pumped and so excited as a kid. And that's why this little Philco was so great, because in the den or in the living room, that was for like, y'all can believe this, that was where the big TV was, the 25-inch cabinet stereo, the big dude, right? I know it's like, that's not big at all, but it was big, you know, but I couldn't watch it in there because my parents were watching, you know, something, or I was supposed to be in bed, but this little puppy was in my room, and I could turn the volume down, and I could play back there and, you know, get the station and watch Monday Night Football, and that was the only channel that mattered. I did not care what was on the other channels, because the truth is, what was on the other channels was no good. I mean, I think it was like Designing Women, right? Like, are you kidding me? There's no contest, right? There was one that might have, you know, Joni Loves Chachi, maybe. That might have been not really, you know. Monday Night Football, that was the only channel that mattered to me. And Paul is saying to us, he said, listen, as followers of Christ, there's only one channel that should matter. Yes, you live here and you've got to live and be in this world, but your focus and your preoccupation should be with your true home, your eternal home, and that is the kingdom of heaven. And learn to live like those who live in the kingdom of heaven live. That's where you should be. That's where your mind and your focus should be. Your focus should be on Christ and his kingdom, and learning how to live that out here on earth. That's the goal. Stop channel surfing. Second thing, you got to fine-tune the image. When you lock in that channel, you got to say, hey, that's the channel I want. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to follow Jesus Christ. You lock in that channel. Well, then you got to do some fine-tuning. Because when you come to Christ, there's so much you still don't know. There's so many things, and you're still living in this life. You're still living on planet Earth, and there's some things you've just been doing most of your life, and there's some habits, and there's some things. There's got to be some fine-tuning. Now, If you're 25 and under today, you probably have no concept of fine tuning. Again, you just turn the TV on, get to the right channel, you know, the satellite, the Roku, whatever, it's just there. Boom, 4K, high definition, you know, it's crystal clear. And as a kid, it was not so. I mean, Saturday afternoons, that was like college football, and I loved watching college football, everybody would clear out, and I'd have the whole den to myself, the big 25, because you got to watch football on the big TV, right? On the 25-inch. But here's the thing, same deal, no cable, just networks, and they had what they called rabbit ears, you know, the little things that came up that sat on top of it, but we decided we needed a little boost, so at our house, on the back of our big 25-inch TV, this cord ran along the side of the wall, went up the wall. It was horrible looking. It went up the wall. My mom hated it, but it was necessary. It went up the wall and out the window and across the yard to this pole that was about 15, 20 feet in the air, and there was this huge antenna. I mean, this thing was massive. And that was really to try to help get a better picture. So Saturdays, I would get in there. I'd turn to the channel, you know, for a football game, and then it kind of looks something like this. You're like, oh my goodness. So what you literally had to do to fine-tune, you're playing around, it's like, oh, it's not quite there. I had to go outside of the house. Pay attention, this is crazy. I had to go outside of my house, walk across the yard, get to that pole, and then turn it just a little bit, not too much, just a little bit. Had to run back over to the house, look in the window, which I had kind of strategically tilted the TV so I could see from the window, look in the window and be like, ah, it's still snowy. I'd run back over to the pole, twist it again, run. You can't keep up. I'd run back over. It's like, oh, it's not there. Now, if your cousin was visiting, that was a bonus because he could stand at the window and tell you. It's like, not yet. Whoa, go back. No, it's exhausting just thinking about it, isn't it? It was real. Didn't you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember? It was real. That was our journey. That was our life to watch TV, the fine-tuning process. And then you get it locked in. You get that thing turned just right, and you sit down, and you're like, it's still not perfect, but it's like, this is good. We can watch the game. And all of a sudden, it just starts going, it's just like these little squiggly, something's happening, and you're like, what is going on? And you realize your sister has decided to take a shower in the middle of Saturday afternoon, and now she's blow-drying her hair, and the hair dryer in the bathroom is on the same circuit as the television, and it's caused interference. You're like, come on, people, I just want to watch a ball game. Dry your hair later. It was real, people, I'm telling you. This was our struggle. You don't even know. I mean, now it's just so easy. Here's my point. That is exactly, while televisions have advanced and we don't have to do all that anymore, we have not. We still have to do, listen to me, we still have to do the work of fine-tuning in our life as Christ followers. That's what Paul is saying here in the next few verses. He said, get on the right channel, stop channel surfing, lock it in, and then fine-tune that image. Listen to what he says here. Watch these verses. He says this, verse 5. He says, so put to death, since you've locked in the channel, since you're a follower of Christ, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Put to death this fascination with this entanglement in the things of this earth. And again, what we're talking about here is we're talking about the things that are in opposition to God. Habits, lifestyles, activities. Put those things to death. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, which our culture today loves sexual immorality. Although they don't call it sexual immorality, they call it sexual freedom. We celebrate that which God has said, no, this is immorality. Impurity, lust, and evil desires. Bottom line here, Paul is saying in the kingdom of heaven, our sexuality and the way we conduct ourselves sexually matters. And we ought to look different in that regard. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world, because and not the things of God. Not God. Remember, God is worshiped and adored in the kingdom of heaven. On the kingdom of earth, he's not. We worship the created rather than the creator. Because it says, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Verse 7, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but you've changed the channel. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You've stripped off, you've changed the channel. You are now tuned into the kingdom of heaven, and you're looking to say, I want to perfect that image. And so there has to be some work of fine-tuning. Did you hear the language in there? Put to death, strip off, get rid of, have nothing to do with. It's language of work. It's work to put to death these sinful habits in my life that have become so a part of who I am, and I'm so entangled in them. It takes work. It takes some work to put these things off. It takes some work to get rid of anger in my life. It takes some work. Oftentimes I need some help. I need my cousin, you know, at the window helping me. I need some accountability around my life, helping me fine-tune that image. The sad reality is that fine-tuning our lives requires sacrifice and work that most just aren't willing to do today. Like, most people wouldn't put up with this old school type of television watching and the fine tuning that was involved and the turning of the antennas and if all, you know, and then if all else failed, remember then there was always that magic go-to, the aluminum foil trick. You put the aluminum foil on the antenna. I have no idea if that worked or not. I think I'm gonna try it with my modem. Like, so when my internet goes out, I was like, it used to work for the TV, maybe it'll work for my internet. I don't know. But most of us, we wouldn't put up with that kind of thing. And the truth of the matter is, so many of us today, we're not willing to do the sacrifice and the hard work of fine-tuning our lives today so that Christ becomes more and more real and clear to those around us. We're just not willing. I don't want to go to that small group. I don't want to open my life up to other people. I don't want to do marriage counseling. I don't want to say I'm sorry. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to stop doing this. I don't want to give this up. I don't want to change. We don't want to do the fine tuning. You know what? So we just get content with this. Hey, at least it's on the right channel. I mean, you can come look. It's not on HBO. It's on Channel 5. I'm a Christian. This is what people see. For a lot of us, this is what our kids see. Some of you are living the life you're living today. Some of you all are following Jesus the way you are today because that's the way your parents followed Christ, and it was a distorted picture of who He is. And unless you are willing to do some work, a fine-tuning, that's the image you're going to pass on to your children. And so for generation after generation, that's what Christianity is going to look like, and it's a distorted image. Guys, I know many times my image is distorted to my kids, and that's why I want to do the fine tuning. I want people, you know what? And then it was like, if all else fails, the aluminum foil fails, everything else fails, you know what? Sometimes you had to do, you just had to come over and go, and it would work. I don't know how or why, but it was like, whoa, there it is. Sometimes I need some brothers in my life come alongside and just give me a whap and say, hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking, man? Out of love, right? But most of us are not willing to do the work of fine-tuning. And those around us, our children, our neighbors, our coworkers, others, even ourselves, it comes at a great cost. It's not the clear image that God desires in our life. We need to do the work of fine-tuning. Right fast. Third thing is we need to minimize the commercials. If we desire to put forth a good, pure image to others, to our kids, to our family, to those around us, a good picture of who Christ is and what it looks like to follow Him, we need to minimize some of the commercials in our life. I don't know about you, but I hate commercials. I want to watch what I want to watch. We got rid of cable, and friends were like, hey, you need to get like this Roku thing and then like subscribe to Hulu. You can pick what you want to watch, commercial free. It's fantastic. Like, sounds great. It's cheaper, so we got rid of cable, satellite. We got the Roku. We got Hulu, subscribe to Hulu. And I was like, this is awesome. Look, they have all the seasons of the Brady Bunch. Well, our family can watch this. And so we started watching it. And then all of a sudden, like about like 10 minutes in, all of a sudden, like, wait, what is this? This is a commercial. What's the deal here? And I was like, I thought there was no commercials. Well, then I researched and realized, well, you have to pay like $4 more a month to get commercial free. And here's the deal, guys. I don't spend money on a lot of things. I don't have any hobbies. I don't golf. I don't ski. I just don't really have any hobbies. But I'm willing to pay $4 a month extra for no commercials, okay? I mean, that's my sad, pathetic life, but I'm willing to do it. So I paid $4 extra for no commercials, and I love it. Because here's the best part about it. What used to take us like 30 minutes to watch a show, now we can watch that show in like 20 minutes, which means, hey, we can actually watch two episodes in 40 minutes, and it's fantastic, right? So it's like, I'm willing to pay to get rid of some of the commercials because I want to tune into what I'm watching and watch that. And for some of us, listen, we need to let people see Jesus. And so as a result of that, we need to minimize the commercials, which are simply distractions in our life. Listen to what the scripture says, Colossians 3:11. He says, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Watch this. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. Christ is all that matters. Here's what I'm talking about. Minimize the commercials. Other people don't need to see me and how great I am. And our culture today is so narcissistic, and social media is such a platform that we use to project and let everybody know how awesome I am, how smart I am, how good I am at this, how great I am. Look how good I look today. Look at this, look at that. It's like we don't need to see how super you are. We need to see how awesome and great our God is. And here's the thing, I have friends that complain all the time about Facebook and how Facebook censors my political rants or my religious rants. And I'm like, I want to write Facebook and say, here's an idea. Stop censoring political rants and religious rants. Start censoring, you know, stupid on Facebook, okay? Are you with me? Start censoring drama. You know, just like figure out. I mean, we got the technology, right? As soon as you pick it up, it's like, none of that. You know, nobody cares. Nobody knows what you're talking about when you post like, well, that just makes me mad. I'm like, what? I'm not in your world. I'm not watching you 24. I don't know what you're talking about. Censor that junk. Censor selfies. Can we not have some recognition software that it's like anytime it's like this, it's like, boom, it censors that. Nobody wants to see your pouty lips. Nobody wants to see your abs of steel. I'm like, dude, put your shirt on. My wife's watching this with me, okay? I don't want her to see that. I don't look that good. You're making me look bad here, right? But here's the thing, guys. Guys, if we're not careful, we get caught right up in that thing. And man, our social media, our conversations, our everything just becomes all about it. One big commercial for me. Listen to what the scripture says, okay? I'm being silly, but listen to the seriousness of these verses, okay? John 3:30. John the Baptist said this about Jesus. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. If you memorize one verse this year, that would be a fantastic verse to memorize and seek to fine-tune your life according to. Philippians 1:21. Paul said, for to me, living means living for me. Living for my career, living for my hobbies. It says living for me means living for Christ. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I love 2 Corinthians 4:5. You see, we don't go about preaching about ourselves. Oh man, generation in America today, we don't go about preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. We want people to see him. And the last one I'll share with you, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, just the mundane, ordinary things of life, do it all for the glory of God. We often take ourselves way too seriously. And we take God way too lightly. We are way too busy fine-tuning our physical life, our looks, our health, and that's fine. But we're way too preoccupied with the things of this earth and fine-tuning that rather than fine-tuning our spiritual life and our example of following Christ to others. And we need to focus on fine-tuning that, and we need to focus on eliminating commercials, eliminating distractions, anything that doesn't point people to Jesus. It's not about me. It's just not about me. And sometimes as Christians, we get real good at this because our Facebook posts, it's not going to be like a picture, you know, with my shirt off or whatever, but it's going to be a picture of the Bible, maybe on my lap. And the description is, I just had to share, this came to me in my second hour of my quiet time this morning. The Lord spoke to me, and it's like, you know, did you get it? You know, it's just like, I am like super Christian. I spend about 8 hours a day in the Word. And so we kind of, but it's still a little bit of kind of promoting how great my faith is. And that's not it at all. It's how great our God is. Guys, let me tell you something. I'm a hot mess. I mean, I get so frustrated with myself and my walk and my consistency. And I want people to see, not me, because if you pay too close attention, you're gonna see junk. I want you to see Christ in me. Let me give you one more thing and we're done. We need a good example, okay? We need a good example. I'm gonna give you the best example. Always follow the benchmark. Whatever the industry is, if you want to be the best, if you want to be at the top, if you want to get there, there's always a benchmark. There's always somebody that's doing it better than anybody else. In the field of electronics, there's these organizations and corporations that they watch stuff, they judge, they look at all the new technologies, and every year they pick the best picture, the best image, the best for home theater viewing, the best for gaming, and they award these television shows and these brands of technology. Well, this is a no-brainer, right? The benchmark for what it looks like to live in the kingdom of heaven on earth, what it looks like to follow God faithfully and consistently, the benchmark, obviously, is Jesus Christ. A couple things and I'm done. Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the visible image that you can see, the visible image of the invisible God. His life as he walked on this earth was a picture of this is what it looks like to live in the kingdom of earth, but live as a faithful follower of the kingdom of heaven. His life on planet earth. He's a visible image of the invisible God. John 14:9, Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You've seen God in me, and here's why. In John 5:19, he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. That was Jesus' life on earth. I'm going to pay attention to the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to pay attention to the Father, and I'm going to seek to do on earth what he's doing in heaven. I'm going to seek to live on earth what he wants to happen. I'm going to seek to be faithful to him. That's our benchmark. That's our example. Jesus Christ, he was a crystal clear, ultra 4K, high definition, Dolby 5.1 surround sound, 24/7, commercial free broadcast of God and the kingdom of heaven here on earth. His life was a living, breathing picture of what it was to be faithful to the kingdom of God right here on the kingdom of earth. He lived it out every single day. He is our ultimate example, and he left us through his word this wonderful picture of what that looks like. He is our example to follow. Don't pattern your life after some superstar, some movie star, some great athlete, some great, even some great theologian, some great teacher, some great leader, some great whatever. Pattern your life after the benchmark of those who follow the kingdom of heaven, and that is the person of Jesus Christ and the picture he gives us in his word. That's the benchmark, and that is what we need to do. We need to stop channel surfing. Make sure I'm locked into the kingdom of heaven, that I am a follower of Christ. I need to start fine-tuning, doing the work of fine-tuning that picture in my life. I need to eliminate those commercials and distractions. And I need to keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. He's the benchmark. He's the example. Over the next 3 weeks, what I want to do is I want to share with you three very, very, very important tools available to us right here, right now, to help us fine-tune that picture of Christ in our lives. Three simple things that are available to all of us. And I hope you'll be faithful. I hope you'll tune in. I hope you'll come as we talk about these things and we unpack them over the next 3 weeks. The thing I want to leave you with today, and our worship team's going to come out here. We're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to give you a moment just to reflect. The thing I just want to say is this. If you're a parent, our kids are watching. You live in a neighborhood. You work in an office. You work in a factory. You go to school. People are looking and they're watching. And you may think nobody's interested in God, nobody's interested in Jesus, nobody's interested in the kingdom of light. You would be wrong. There are people all around you that are desperately looking for, what is it real? Is this whole Christianity thing real? Because I've seen so much that I'm just thinking, that's not real. It's just a bunch of snow. It's just a bunch of distraction. It says it's Christianity, but it doesn't look anything like what it should. There are people that are looking. And you and I, we are responsible for taking a hard look at our lives and saying, am I tuned into the right channel? Am I doing the work of fine-tuning? Am I fine-tuning the image of Christ in my life? Am I eliminating commercials, or is my life much more about me and much less about God? Am I following Jesus? That's the ultimate goal. My prayer is that God would speak to our hearts and challenge us this morning to move closer to Him and say, God, I want to look at the snow and the distractions in my life, and I want you to start eliminating that and begin to fine-tune that image of Jesus in my life, that others can see more of Him and much, much less of me. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us today. Thank you for loving us enough, God, to speak truth into our lives. Father, my prayer this morning is that wherever we may be in this wide spectrum of following you, God, that wherever we may be, you would speak to our hearts today, God. You would challenge us to take a step in the direction of you, God. If that means working on eliminating commercials, fine-tuning that picture in our lives, maybe even finding the right channel, God, whatever that may be, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would just challenge us to take a step towards you, God. And whatever that may look like today, whatever we need to do to make that happen, God, I pray that we would take it serious, that we would take you serious today, and we would choose to do that, Father. It's no accident that we're here. It's no accident that we're hearing what we're hearing. I pray that you would give us the wisdom to respond to it, God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.